Legal Tuesday with Joe Stanley, the morning mess on demand at 95x.com.
Before we even get started, Joe, how can people reach out listening right now to the morning mess? How can they reach out to you at the Stanley Law Office?
Sure. Our website's stanleylawoffices.com. My email is joe@stanleylawoffices.com, and its phone number is 1-800-608-3333.
This is your time to drop us a text at 315-629-9570 or simply give us a call right now, direct line to the studio to speak to Joe Stanley with your legal question. It is 315-421-9595. We're going to start with this text. Tell Joe I'll work for him. What's the hours? I do cleaning with a smiley face. Now Joe is going to get that all day. But now to legal questions.
Well, actually, Joe, there was a story in the news this past week that Home Depot worker that stopped a child abduction and was fired. Did you see that at all?
I did. I saw it, yes.
Is there anything? I mean, I know Home Depot, you know, reversed their decision and whatnot, but how is that?
Well, some people have policies where even if a shoplifter or someone's coming robbing, that you're not allowed to go after that person.
They saw this child being abducted and called 911, and 911 was like, follow them so that, you know, you can tell the police where they are. And they did without question. They kept this kid from getting abducted.
Yeah.
Sometimes company policies don't make sense. And I can tell you that from a legal perspective, sometimes that they don't actually ask about how things are implemented. They just write them down on paper and then no exceptions. That's the problem when you have rules that don't have exceptions. We all know how, and again, that's employers that are inflexible and don't understand.
I mean, I know me. I would want any employee of mine to stop a kid from being abducted.
Well, here's the thing. They might have not known the whole story. They broke company policy for doing whatever, and then when they found out what really happened, went back and said, okay, then, you know what I mean? That could have happened too.
Yep. But you know, hopefully you figure out what happened first before you fire somebody.
That's what you would want, you know?
That's not necessarily always true.
No, I know. I agree with that. That's true.
Okay, we got a text from Carrie. She was walking her dog in the park this past fall, tripped over an elevated section of sidewalk, didn't break any bones, just bruised and scraped her knee, didn't seek immediate attention because she didn't have pain, but a couple of weeks later started having trouble bending her leg, went to physical therapy, got exercises, blah, 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 took pictures of her clothing from the scrape, elevated sidewalk, called the city, reported the hazard. They spray painted it to, you know, like point it out, but haven't repaired it yet. I guess they filed their claim and notified the city of injury within the required time, and has about a month to sue them if that's what they decide. Is there a minimum I can claim for the injury?
Well, I'm presuming we're talking about the city of Syracuse, but it doesn't matter. It's almost every city in New York. The scenario you're talking about happens all the time. First of all, what happens all the time is people don't realize how hurt they are.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things about what I get involved in. People can have some very serious injuries, whether it's a car crash or a fall, and not realize it for a few days. And of course, it's always going to be blamed that, you know, it's something else, or that's going to be held against you. But it happens all the time. It's common. What also is common is falling on public properties, sidewalks in particular. Mm-hmm. And this case is not a case, as far as I know, because if it's the city of Syracuse or almost every city in New York, there is a prior written notice of defect law in effect, which means that if you trip and fall on a bad sidewalk, the only way you can sue them is that if someone else gave prior written notice of that same defect.
So basically they've helped whoever else trips next.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they may have only 30 days. I don't know if they've talked to a lawyer about it. And maybe there was a prior written notice of defect on the sidewalk, or maybe the city caused it or someone else caused the condition. I mean, there's exceptions to this rule. They're not great exceptions.
Well, sure, and it's Syracuse, so we've got our winter that freezes and moves all the...
Yeah, well, a lot of sidewalks. And that's New York State allows that for any municipality, not just cities, towns, villages. Almost everyone has a prior written notice of defect statute. New York City has a separate one. They impose legal liability on the landowner who has the adjacent property. So that's different. New York, so for the city of Syracuse, imposes an obligation on adjacent landowners to fix their sidewalks, but there's no legal liability for failure to do it. The only entity that can go after them for not doing that is the city themselves. And of course, if you fall and get hurt on a city sidewalk and it's in bad shape, generally you're out of luck. How's that?
It's the Morning Mess with Marty and Shannon. Joe Stanley is here. The segment is brought to you by the Stanley Law Office. Don't go it alone. You can contact Joe. Joe, if people are listening right now and they feel more comfortable to reach out to your office, how can they do that?
Sure. StanleyLawOffices.com. The phone number is 1-800-608-3333. And my email is joe@StanleyLawOffices.com. Now, in that scenario, though, if you are hurt badly on any kind of public property, that's one of those deals you do need to investigate and get to a lawyer right away because they are complicated. There are exceptions. So they're very tough cases, though.
The direct line to the studio is 315-421-9595. Last chance to call and ask Joe a question live on the radio. Text line is 315-629-9570. We just got a text message. Good morning. My son just got a ticket for failure to write away. This is his first moving violation. What should he do before going to court? Thank you very much for your time.
Well, the scenario of this is, and when you say he just got his first ticket, hopefully it's not within his probationary period, because if it is within that first 6 months, he's got to get a lawyer and get it, negotiate a resolution, because I forget what it is, but if you get a moving violation within your first 6 months or whatever, you can get your license suspended, which is not such a good thing if you're a new driver. There's two ways of handling this. You can try and go to the DA night and have the try to have the ticket reduced to a non-moving, non-point violation, and you pay your fine, and it doesn't affect your insurance. Or you can contact lawyers that do that work, and they will charge you a small fee. And hopefully, if you don't have a lot of bad things going against you, can get it reduced to either a lesser point or a non-point violation, so it doesn't affect your insurance as much. Regardless, you're going to pay the fine to the state of New York. It's going to,
because that's what they want.
Yeah, well, I didn't say that, but yeah,
I did.
So my advice is it depends, but I would do one or the other. Just don't pay the ticket and send it in, because it will go on your license. You'll get the points, and eventually the insurance company will find out about it. And if they're on your policy and they're younger drivers, you know that can have a big effect too. So you really want to make sure that you can get the best resolution you can.
So basically, if her son is on the probation thing, definitely contact a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah, and if not, I would still either try to resolve it yourself, and if you can't do it, then I would talk to a lawyer. If you can't do it by just going to the court for DA night, then I would call a lawyer. That's generally the process. And if it's your first time ticket and that's all that happened, there was no accident or whatever, they'll probably give you it on your own. But if there's anything complicated, you should really talk to a lawyer, because the consequences are, you may not know about the consequences.
Sure.
Until it might be a year before you find out how much it's ultimately going to cost you.
Text line 315-629-9570. Another question for Joe. My friend's daughter's father is in prison and has been in prison for 4 years. He's got about 8 years left of his sentence. Could she get her husband to adopt her daughter without the father of the child's consent? Mm. Because of the situation?
No.
Nope.
The answer to that is no.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's a difficult process. He has to give up his parental rights, or at least allow someone else to adopt it. Maybe he will. I mean, that's one of those things you should consider, but you can't do it without consent. No.
Another question came in at 315-629-9570. Question for Joe, but not about Joe.
Oh, good.
Is it possible to sue a lawyer?
Not Joe.
Again, not you, Joe, but is it possible for someone to sue a lawyer?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time. Legal malpractice, same as medical negligence, medical malpractice. There's standards of care that lawyers have to operate on just like anyone else. And so, yes, and it does happen. You know, lawyers have malpractice insurance just like, engineers, doctors, everybody makes mistakes. And that's what that's what insurance is for. No one is perfect. And I have insurance. I'm not perfect. That's what you buy it for, because no matter how well you try anything, anytime, a mistake is possible.
I love that they put in their text message, though. Not you,
not
Joe.
You, not Joe, you, Joe. Not you.
Texas came in. Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate it. About the son with the moving violation. Have a great day.
Oh, okay, here you go.
Another question.
Let's see. I was in a motorcycle accident last fall. Person who hit me, insurance company denied claim due to nobody seeing the impact. My attorney proceeded to serve him, and now his insurance company is back in the fold. I found a witness that actually saw the impact. My question, I feel there's an ethics issue with my attorney's office. No phone calls returned, no communication. They seem to not have a straight answer for anything. I feel like they're, for some reason, dragging their feet or like it's not as important as other cases because payment is on a contingency basis. What can I do to push things along?
Well, okay. I mean, I only work on a contingency fee basis, meaning that I don't get paid until you do.
Which
would
make you
do.
Think they'd be working as hard as they could to get their money.
Well, it is one of the hardest things I always talk about in my staff and my office is communication. We were just talking about communication in the office, but communication with clients so they understand the process, they understand what's going on, and understand that why things take so long in the legal systems, and maybe to even understand. So in this case, I hope that the client knows that the case is in suit and the insurance company is being cheap. Not that I'm just basing this on past experience, and the case may have to be litigated, and that they need to understand how this litigation process is. It can be long and slow and time consuming, and that the resolution may not be nearly as quick as you want. But that's something about communication. As lawyers, we need to do a better job. I always say that's the biggest issue we have. I always tell my staff, communicate, because what goes on, just like in the doctor's office or the engineer's office, is not just because we know and it's common sense to us. To regular lay people, they don't really have any idea we're talking about.
No, good point.
They don't. They don't have any idea what we're talking about. And I always say to my staff, if you were in their position, how would you want to be treated? And that's really the best way to look at it.
Yep.
There you go. Joe Stanley is here. That's all the time we have. Great questions today. We'll do it again next Tuesday. If anyone's listening right now and you have legal advice and you don't feel comfortable going on the air with it or sending us a text, that's cool. You can always contact Joe at the Stanley Law Office.
And we do have a couple questions we didn't get to today, so we will save them for Joe for next week.
What's the contact information if people want to reach out to the Stanley Law Office?
Sure. My email is joe@stanleylawoffices.com. Our number is 1-800-608-3333, and it's stanleylawoffices.com.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, Joe. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Those were really good questions.
They really were. Back to the roads we go. 690 is a mess. We're going to check.
Traffic is broken.